It's 6 minutes past 11, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
Really delighted to have on the line the Honourable Jonathan O'Dea, MP, State Member for Davison and Speaker of New South Wales Legislative Assembly. Sorry, good morning. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Jim and Darren. I think both of you there?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. Great to be with you. And it's O'Dea, Jonathan O'Dea.
I know. Can I just say thank you, Jonathan. I don't know why it came out the wrong way, but it did, and that's my mistake. So apologies there.
No worries, Jim. It's great to speak with you again.
And I was doing some reading. You come from a large family, nine children, and that would have been a fantastic time growing up.
Oh, absolutely. I was very privileged to grow up in a large family, and that extended family with my children and cousins is a wonderful thing as everyone matures. Fortunately, both my parents are still around, and they take great delight in seeing their nine children and now the 16 grandchildren, including my four children, thrive and enjoy living in New South Wales, because it's a great state with lots of opportunity for people. I'm very pleased to be able to represent some of those people, in particular through my electorate, but all of those people through the parliament in my role as speaker.
And we're going to get onto that in a moment. And thanks for sharing those family and personal matters with us. Jonathan, you are and were a very successful lawyer, and you went into public service. Why the transition, and what are some of your most memorable moments from that to date?
Yeah, look, thanks. Jim, I did qualify and study and all that sort of stuff that people do at university, around the law, and I worked in a big law firm and then worked in-house, but I then moved into business and transitioned really from the law into business before going into politics, and I sometimes jest that this is my third attempt at doing something useful, but certainly the law is a wonderful grounding for so many things, but one thing it isn't is terribly proactive. It's more reacting to situations, reacting to agendas that others create, either in business or elsewhere. And so I felt a strong compulsion to move more into a commercial type role, and I did that for about a decade or so, or a little bit longer. I was on the board of a couple of companies running some financial services businesses, but very much left the law behind. And then I had the opportunity to put my hand up to serve in the New South Wales Parliament. And so that's my third, I suppose, major career or vocation. And while the law still I regard as a great grounding, and I draw on my experience from that time in Parliament, it's not something that I ever saw myself after a couple of years working in it as staying in for the rest of my life. People these days change a lot. I've changed into three sort of separate parts of my working life, and I suspect I'll have a fourth. These days, young people can have 10.
Very true.
That's quite amazing that you can transition so many times. And we're talking just earlier this morning to Ron Parnell of the Older Men's Network, and he's 87, and he went to university again at 63. So, you can re-educate right through your life. Now, you are Speaker of the New South Wales Legislative Assembly, and most people may think the Speaker is the guy up there or the gal shouting order or those sorts of things. But can you tell us more about what the Speaker does? How do you get elected, and what is your role in the New South Wales Parliament?
Sure. So in the New South Wales Parliament, there are two houses. There's the lower house and the upper house, and that's similar to the Commonwealth or the Federal Parliament. The Speaker is the presiding officer or the chair of the lower house, and that's, I suppose, the most prominent part of the role, and that involves, yes, chairing the parliament when it's sitting, and also looking after the interests and the welfare of members through the parliament, but certainly the most high profile part is chairing the parliament, including during question time when it can get a little bit raucous at times, but certainly it's vigorous at all times. When I am chairing the parliament, part of what I seek to do is maintain an order and a proper respect shown not just from members to members, but members to the institution and to the public of New South Wales, who we're all there to represent. So that's broadly the most high profile sort of role, chairing the parliament, looking after members. Secondly, there's a role in overseeing the running of the parliamentary precinct. So even on a non-sitting day, there's up to about 300 people at work in the parliamentary precinct doing all sorts of things. And so I've got a responsibility, along with some others, for overseeing and making sure that that runs efficiently and effectively for the people of New South Wales. And then thirdly, there's a role in representing Parliament in external relations with other bodies, like the executive arm of government, so the Premier and her ministers, the Legislative Council. There's an interplay between the Legislative Assembly and Legislative Council. And then there are all sorts of stakeholders external to the Parliament, including independent agencies and oversight bodies like ICAC that we liaise with, as well as the diplomatic corps. So Sydney has the second largest diplomatic corps in the world, and I liaise with those on behalf of Parliament as well. So they're sort of the main three sort of areas that the role of Speaker covers.
So, Jonathan, how do you get elected? How did that process take place?
Sure. So you're elected by all the members in the House which you preside over. So in my case, in the lower house, there are 93 members, and I was nominated by the Premier, but that then goes to a vote of the House. And indeed, we saw just recently in the upper house, the Premier nominated somebody who wasn't successfully elected, and somebody else subsequently was elected. In the lower house, the government tends to have the numbers, and so the will of the Premier would usually prevail. But I was very pleased that I was unanimously elected by all 93 members, or 92 excluding myself. And that was a couple of years ago in 2017. And the tradition when you are elected is to be dragged to the chair at the front of the parliament. The origins of that tradition goes back some centuries to England. We borrow a number of our traditions from England, but that particular tradition originates from when speakers of the day were somewhat routinely executed. The speaker in the parliament initially represented the monarch, and if the monarch of the day didn't like the news that was being conveyed to them from the speaker, then they'd often meet a somewhat dastardly end. And in fact, there were 9 speakers in the UK who lost their heads. And while in New South Wales, and indeed in Australia, I don't know of any speaker who has physically lost their head, it's a tradition of being dragged to the chair, which I also experienced on that day in May of 2019, when I became the Speaker on the 7th of May that year.
Jonathan, we're going to go to a little break. It's been a real delight to have you explain to our listeners what the Speaker does, a little bit about your life and how you get elected. You're on Alive 90.5 with Jim and Darren on Spotlight, and we'll be back just after this short break.
Alive 90.5.
It's 20 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have on the line the Honourable Jonathan O'Day, MP, State Member for Davison and Speaker of New South Wales Legislative Assembly. I got it better that time, Jonathan.
Jim, James, should I say.
Thank you. I had to redeem myself.
Not at all. Look, great to be back. Thank you.
And thank you for spending time. I know how busy you are, and we sincerely are grateful. When that moment came that you took on the role of a speaker, can you remember how you felt? Because that really is a prestigious role. I mean, there is a little bit of dragging you to the chair and all of those things, but it is really a very important role that you play. Did you feel chuffed?
Look, I certainly felt honoured and privileged. You know, And you're honoured and privileged just to represent your electorate in the Parliament, but then to be asked to, I suppose, preside over the Parliament is an honour. It's one which I didn't seek, nor one which I saw myself as going into Parliament to undertake.
Mm.
But it's one that I do, I must say, I enjoy, and I derive some satisfaction from it, particularly when we can make democracy work as it is intended. It's a role which has its challenges at times,
mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting role and one which, as I said, I'm privileged to be able to serve in that capacity.
Well, Jonathan, let's explore that, because I don't like the word power, but it does have particular responsibilities and power that goes with that role.
It does, yeah.
What legally can you do as you're in the role of Speaker?
I'll give you a couple of examples, one theoretical and one a little bit more practical. Theoretically, I've got the power to lock somebody up if they don't comply with a requirement to give evidence, for example. Now, no Speaker has exercised that role, but it's still there in statute. So that's a theoretical example, but more practically, in the Parliament, particularly in question time, things can get a little bit rowdy at times. It can be heated exchanges, sometimes even disrespectful behaviour shown, and so I've got a responsibility to try and ensure that order is maintained, and I've got the ability to put people on calls or warnings if they transgress, in my opinion, beyond what might be seen as acceptable. And ultimately, I can throw people out of the chamber, and that might be over, for a period of time during the day, or it might be overnight, or I can name them and then, with the sanction of the Parliament, have people suspended. So, that's something which you don't do lightly. I don't enjoy asking anybody to leave the chamber, but sometimes that is required, and the Sergeant-at-Arms will help escort the member out of the Parliament.
Thanks for sharing that, because it gives our listeners an insight into just exactly what your powers cover. Jonathan, have you ever been in Parliament for 10, 20 hours at a time, like trying to pass bills and different things? Some of them can take a long time. Have you been in Parliament sitting for that period of time, 15 hours
yeah.
or so?
Yes, I have, but I'm pleased to say, Jim, that happens very rarely now. When I joined the Parliament in 2007, in that first term, the four-year period, when the Labor Party was in power, there were fairly regular late-night sittings. One of the things that happened when there was a change of government was the determination to try and introduce more family-friendly hours, particularly in the lower house of the Legislative Assembly. And so while occasionally we do sit late or past midnight, it's very rare now. It's more likely that, we might sit 10 or 12 hours, but beyond that is extremely rare now. Because we are conscious not only of the need to have family-friendly hours, but also for people to remain alert and functioning at a optimal level.
Jonathan, thank you for sharing that. That leads me on to a question about the Parliament being COVID-friendly in this weird and wacky last year has it been. How has COVID affected the Parliament, and how have you managed that as Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, look, I think all work environments have experienced a bit of disruption in the last year or so, and Parliament's no different. So what we're doing now is we've got a slightly spaced out chamber. We moved some of the members into the lower of the Speaker's gallery to enable more of a spacing of members. There were a few weeks where we couldn't sit at all when we went into lockdown. People remember that about a year ago. And so there were a few weeks where we weren't able to operate the Parliament, but fortunately we have been able to, either through reduced numbers in the chamber or through spaced out numbers, we've been able to keep democracy rolling in New South Wales. We've also somewhat delayed some of the plans to increase the level of engagement and education with the public. That's really one of the priorities that I've had, along with modernising the Parliament. And we're modernising things, not just in terms of the rules that apply, but also the physical environment. And also some of the IT systems. A lot of work going into modernising the Parliament. But one of the other priorities very much that I set when I became Speaker was to increase the engagement and the education of the public about what happens in Parliament. So we want people to come and visit their Parliament. It is the people's house. And look, can I commend you, you, Jim and Darren, on even this session, because it's an opportunity to reach out and help people understand what the Parliament does and what the Speaker does. But we, you know, on Macquarie Street in the city, so many people walk along. What they don't realise is that they can walk into the Parliament anytime they like. Yes, you might have to go through some security, and that's an unfortunate reality in today's world. But you can wander around the Parliament, you can see your democracy in action, and hopefully very soon we'll be reintroducing the public access to the chamber, so you can see at question time what goes on. But for the moment, if you want to come and do that, you can do it, but you just need to book in advance, either through your local member or contacting the Parliament. You know, Parliament's there for all your listeners, and we want people to visit and for them to own the Parliament, because it is their house.
Jonathan, thanks for sharing that with us. It's been very well clearly put forward to our listeners, and we're very grateful. I'm going to ask you a question without notice.
Sure.
And it's a very simple question, but one I hope that you're a very good thinker, particularly on your feet. So this question is, if you're having dinner tonight, who would be three people and why you would like to have dinner with those three people?
Oh, who would I love to have dinner with tonight? Look, I'd love to have dinner tonight with my wife.
Excellent answer, Jonathan.
She's always top of the list. And then in addition, today, I would like to have dinner with Joe Biden and Xi Jinping.
Wow.
see what we could do to find a bit of common ground.
I reckon that would be a really interesting main course. Sweets, I'm not sure, but main course would be interesting. Jonathan, thanks for sharing time with us. We know how busy you are. It's a real delight, and we'd love to have you back later in the year just to continue telling us what's happening in Parliament and making people more aware, particularly in Western Sydney, about the great work that you're doing at the moment. Congratulations.
And thank you for shining a spotlight on Parliament. Cheers.
Thank you, and have a great morning.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.